Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
Guys, doing good? Doing all right? Yeah, you have a good week? Things are a little weird at our house. We are this week driving and dropping our daughter off at college in California. She is our youngest, but our first to leave home, and so we are very sad, and we're excited for her, and we're confused about how to feel. In fact, we are so confused, our family spent Friday night at Chuck E. Cheese. I don't know how to explain that, but that's what happened. So let's start today with a question, all right? Are you tired of trying? Are you tired of trying? Like, you've tried to change, try to be a better person, a different person. You've tried to stop doing what you can't seem to stop doing. Are you just tired of trying? I have really good news. The Christian life has nothing to do with trying. That's religion. Religion is about trying. Jesus came not to establish a religion, but to end religion. Jesus came to set people free. The Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, so Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure you stay free and don't get tied up again. Jesus sets us free. 3 weeks ago when we started this series, we saw how Jesus sets us free from religion. 2 weeks ago, we saw that Jesus sets us free from having to try to impress other people and worry about what they're thinking. And today, I want us to see that Jesus sets us free from trying to be good enough. So when we launched the series, we started kind of exploring this chart that my friend made, and I've kind of changed it a little bit, but it shows the difference between religion and Christianity. So what is the difference? Because maybe you're like, I thought Christianity was a religion. I'm confused already. What is the difference, and how can taking the right approach set us free from trying to be good enough? So we're going to jump back into it. There's two parts we already covered. We'll do a little review, and then we'll go through the rest of the chart, okay? So first, we talked about the key word. The key word for religion is do. D-O, do. It's all about what I do. Religion is a system where I try to do the right things and not do the wrong things. I try to make up for my sins, and I try to earn God's favor, and I realize time and time again that I cannot do enough and I can't be good enough. And so religion leads people to lots of guilt and shame. The key word for religion is do. We could say it's more like do. Hey. The key word for Christianity is done. D-O-N-E, done. It's not about what I do. It's about what was done for me by Jesus on the cross. I don't put my trust in what I do. I put my trust in what Jesus has done for me. I don't have to earn my way with God because God has done for me what I could never do for myself. When a person moves into that, when they make that decision to put their trust in Jesus rather than themselves, the next thing that person does is they get baptized. Jesus said, Mark 16:16, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And there's this promise that God gives us. It's really cool. In Acts chapter 2, it says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we turn from sin to God, we're baptized, and we receive the Holy Spirit. We're doing baptisms today. We do a merry couple of months or so, and we've got around 10 people who are getting baptized this weekend, which is awesome. We've got some of those people in our room right now. We're doing baptisms right after this service, so about 12:45. We do them out back in the Holy of Holies, right next to the dumpster. It's true. And so if you want to come join us in the holiest of places and try to avoid the dumpster, you can come in and celebrate and watch those baptisms. And those people are making that decision today. What we just saw, that verse is a promise that God has given them. When you surrender your life to God in faith, you are forgiven of your sins and given the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God with and within a person who has invited God into your life. So when you invite God into your life, he literally moves into your life. You now have God in you. And that leads to the second difference we talked about, the foundation. The foundation for religion is rules. It's rules. It's very much about rules. There's a checklist of things I need to do and things I should not do. The foundation for Christianity is relationship. It's all about relationship. God loves us, wants a relationship with us. Because of what Jesus has done for me, I get to have a relationship with God. Because of grace, I get to have a relationship with God. Grace means to be given the opposite of what you deserve. So the idea is that we have sinned against God, we deserve separation from him, but he loves us, died for us, and we get relationship with him. That's grace, okay? All right, let's continue into the rest of the chart. And what we're gonna see eventually is why Jesus sets us free from trying to be good enough. The focus of religion is outward. It's all about fixing my behavior. Right? The way I act and the way I talk. Am I doing wrong things? If so, I need to stop. It's outward. And so religion, it's very concerned with appearances, right? Because it's outward. That's the religious approach. And that is what most people do. Jesus confronted this kind of thinking. Back then, there was a group of people called the Pharisees. They were very religious, and everything with them was about externals and appearances. Jesus told them that they were like whitewashed tombs. That's not a compliment. He was like, you're this like clean on the outside tomb, but inside you're full of dead bones. There's nothing alive in there. Jesus also told them that they were like someone who has a big old coffee mug, and every day they scrupulously clean the outside, but never clean the inside. And so the mug looks great, but inside it's filled with mold, and you just keep drinking out of it every day. That's gross. And that's religion. Jesus says, that's religion. The foundation, the focus of religion is outward. The focus of Christianity is inward. So as a Christian, listen, I am not obsessed with my behavior because I know my behavior is just a reflection of my heart. So if I stop a behavior but don't change my heart, the behavior is going to come back. What this means is any real change that will ever happen in my life has to happen from the inside out. And so I'm less preoccupied with what I am doing or not doing and much more concerned with what is going on inside of me. How about you? Like, which one of those better describes you? Do you find yourself trying to change your behavior? I really want to start doing this, and I need to stop doing that, and I got to work on that. Or are you focused on what's going on inside of you, in your mind and in your heart? Next difference is the motivation. The motivation for religion is guilt. Religion tries to control people by making them feel bad. It's all about you, and it's about what you do and don't do. And if you don't do the right things, you should feel guilty. Maybe some of you grew up in a church where you're like, that was exactly what I heard every week, right? But listen, people don't change because of guilt. If you're driven to make changes by fear or by guilt, you might change some behaviors temporarily, but you will not have a change in your heart, so the change won't last. It's kind of like if I'm driving down the 15 and I'm speeding and then I see a cop, I will slow down, right? Why? Because I'm guilty and I am afraid of getting a ticket. So my behavior will change, but in my heart, I'm still a speeder, right? My heart did not change in that moment. And so as soon as the cop's gone, I'm speeding again. See, when guilt is our motivation, we're trying to change from the outside in. Never works. It's never worked for anybody. The motivation with Christianity is gratitude. It's gratitude. We're just so thankful for what Jesus has done for us. And we come to love God so much that we want to live our lives for him. There's no, I've got to do this. I just want to. I want to put a smile on his face. There's a book of the Bible called Titus, and it talks about Jesus in this book, and it says about him, Jesus gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. The idea is when you realize that God loves you and that Jesus came and died for you, like, that's just crazy, isn't it? It's unthinkable. And so you just have this grace explosion that happens in your heart, and you start to change. But it's change that's happening from the inside out. It's driven by love. And it's because he died for you. That's the motivation. It's gratitude. Like that verse said, you become eager to do what is good, right? It's like Jesus loves you and chose to die for you, and you love him and you choose to live for him. Our motivation is not guilt, it's gratitude. The next difference is when it comes to effort, and this is where we're going to really kind of dig in a little bit today. The effort with religion all goes into trying. I'm trying. I really am. I need to be better, and I need to stop doing that, and I know I need to start doing that. I'm trying. I'm really trying. There's this pressure you feel to do good and be good, and there's guilt when you're not, and you know that you need to change, and so you are trying. I'm trying. The effort with Christianity goes into relying, not trying. You rely not on yourself, but on God. God tells us repeatedly in the Bible that if we rely on our own strength, we are in trouble. We are not going to experience lasting change. But we don't, good news, we don't have to rely on our own strength, because God is offering to partner with us and to empower us with his strength. Because when you say yes to God, what his offer to save you, and we invite him into our lives, God, again, literally comes into our lives through the Holy Spirit, his presence with and within us. So in this series, we've been going through a book of the Bible called Galatians. We've kind of gone through the first three or so chapters, four chapters so far. And Galatians is actually a letter that a guy named Paul wrote to people who lived in an area called Galatia. They were the Galatians. And these were people who had heard about Jesus, put their faith in Jesus, and when they did, they were set free from religion, from rules, from trying to be good enough, from having to impress other people, from guilt, from shame. They had been set free, and now they were starting to go back. Like they were Christians, but they were taking a religious approach to Christianity, which makes no sense, because Christianity is the opposite of religion. It's what a lot of people do today. And Paul writes about this. He continues to write about this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. He says, how foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it was not in vain, was it? So he's saying, really? Really? You started this new life with God. He gave you his Holy Spirit. But now you're deciding to go back to having to try to be good enough? Don't you realize that never works for anyone? And that is not Christianity. It's the difference between trying and relying. Or we could say it's the difference between being self-empowered or spirit-empowered. I have a visual that might help. I love this visual. I do it about once every 2 years here at Verve. If you've been around, you're like, oh, this again. Someday I'm doing this until the day comes when I cut my finger off. and then I will stop doing this forever. But this is an electric knife. You may own one of these. Maybe your parents, grandparents did. And so typically you break this out at Thanksgiving, right? And so turkeys are really hard to carve. And so this is a knife that you can carve it with. And you can carve like, you know, regular knife, but like it's a lot of work and not a lot of power. The thing that's different about this knife is that it's an electric knife, and so there's this ability it has to be plugged in. And if you plug it in, all of a sudden, it has real power, right? Like, all of a sudden, this thing could, like, go right through a human bone. I need a volunteer real quick. Maybe not. But here's the deal. This, because you could just, on Thanksgiving, you could take out this knife, it's just a regular knife, and you could just start carving away at your turkey, right? And this is religion. This is Christian. Like, this is how you carve through the turkey with this thing, right? This is Christianity. This is trying. This is relying. This is living a self-empowered life. This is living a spirit-empowered life. And so you have a choice. And you make that choice every single day. You can try to love God and love people without plugging in. And so this is your life. Extra work, less power, and you are not going to love people very well. You can try to serve God and people without plugging in. Extra work, less power. And you're going to find that you're not making that big of an impact, and you're going to get tired, and you're going to be one of those people like, I just got burnt out. You can try to endure suffering without plugging in. Extra work, less power, the suffering will probably overwhelm you. Or you can decide each day to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the reality, and we all know this, it goes way deeper than this, because it's not just that we want to do good, and we can choose to try hard, or we can rely on God to do good. The reality is, there is also something inside of us that wants to do bad, right? We all have this thing inside of us that leads us to make wrong decisions and do things that we are not proud of. It's that thing inside of me that when I sit down at the table for my kale salad, whispers in my ear, Dairy Queen is 1 mile away. They sell milkshakes there. What are you doing? Right? It's that thing inside of me that when I think, I should not tell my wife that she's just like her mother, says, tell her she's just like her mother. She is just like her. She needs to hear it, right? It's that thing inside of me that leads me to lust and to get angry and to be miserable instead of joyful. There's something inside of us. We all know that, right? And we have cartoons that picture it. But here's what the Bible calls that. You can call it whatever you want. The Bible calls that thing inside of us our sinful nature. It's just our selfish, sinful nature, and it wants to lead us. So how do you make sure that it is not going to lead you down wrong paths and lead you to live the life you don't want to live? Paul writes a lot about this to the Galatians because he wants them to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. He wants them to understand that there's this war going on within them. Because if you've invited God in, he's literally in here. But there's still literally that sinful nature in here, and it's like they're battling inside of me, and he wants them to understand, if you try in your own strength to overcome your sinful nature, you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. So look what he writes in Galatians 5, verses 16 through 18. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law. So, you have good intentions. right? You want to do good. You don't want to do bad things. You know the person that you want to be. You also have this sinful nature who's always there and always tempting you to do something evil, to be selfish, to lust, to get angry, to be greedy, to live a life of fear instead of courage. How do you win? How do you live the life you want to live? Not by trying. Stop trying. It's by relying. There's another way we can think about this. We kind of get this idea in the Bible of feeding. So it's like we have these two natures inside of us. Which one are we feeding so it's growing stronger in us? There's a story. It's supposed to be a true story about this little village in Alaska, and there's nothing to do in this village. No movie theater, no boat, nothing to do. But there is a guy who owned two dogs. And a big dog, same size. And every Saturday, he'd bring the two dogs into the fight. They'd set up a little ring, and they would have a dog fight. Let's, for now, ignore the fact that maybe that's a bad thing, whatever. So we're just going with the story. And so he sets up this dog fight, and not only does everybody come to watch, because it's the best entertainment we've got, they also, everyone bets on who will win. It's just the fun thing to do. And you never know which one's going to win. Who knows? There's this one guy in the town, and he started watching the dude who owned the dogs, and he realized he bets on the dog fight too, but he always gets his bet right. Everybody else, 50-50, this guy's always right. He realizes something's going on, something's up. And so one day he corners the guy and he says, "Listen, I've been watching you for weeks. You always get your bet right. You're setting this up, it's fixed. You tell me what you're doing or I'm gonna expose you to everyone." Guy says, okay. Don't tell anyone, I'll tell you. So what I do is, when I bring the dogs home on Saturday after the fight, I take care of them and I feed them until Wednesday. On Wednesday, I stop feeding one of the dogs and I keep feeding the other one. When I bring them on Saturday, you can't tell the difference. But one of those dogs has been starved for 2 or 3 days and one of them has been fed, and the dog I feed always wins. And inside of you, there is a sinful nature and there is a spiritual nature. And it doesn't matter which side you want to win. It doesn't matter. The side you feed always wins. Always. And so we need to be aware of who and what we're feeding. There's in dieting, nutritionists talk about the power of keeping a diet diary. Are you familiar with this? So the idea is you write down everything you eat. Don't change your eating, just write down everything you eat. The reason is most people don't realize how much they eat or what they eat. They generally think, like, I think I'm doing pretty good. But then when you write everything down, you're like, and you have to write down everything. Like, you can't break a cookie in half and you don't count it because it was just half of a cookie. That you don't have to write. No, you have to write down half a cookie. If your kid gets like chicken nuggets and fries and doesn't eat a couple nuggets, couple fries, you can't eat them but not count it because you didn't order it. It wasn't your. No, you ate it. You have to write it down. And so here's the interesting thing. You're supposed to write down everything you eat for like a week or a month or whatever, and you're not supposed to make any changes in your diet. But what's interesting is when people do this, just by paying attention to what they're eating, you always make changes. You start going, I don't want to write down 3 pieces of cheesecake. Maybe I'll just have 2 pieces of cheesecake. And so you make changes even though you're not supposed to. Here's the deal. The challenge for us is to understand I have a sinful nature inside of me, and I have a spiritual nature inside of me, and I need to pay close attention to what I'm feeding. I need to be aware. So, there are some TV shows or movies I could watch that would just feed lust. There's some music I could listen to that would feed anger. There are some people I could hang out with who would feed gossip. There are some places I might spend time that would feed addiction, right? I can't feed the spiritual nature. I need to starve it, because if I feed it, even though I want to live this kind of life, I will never live it. I will never live the life I want to live. I need to starve the sinful nature of the things that feed it, right? And I need to feed the Spirit. So like every day, if I wake up a little early and I read the Bible, I'm feeding the Spirit. When I listen to worship music on my drive to work, I'm feeding the Spirit. If I end my day by taking a few minutes to pray, I am feeding the Spirit. When you show up at church, you are feeding the Spirit. Look at you. You did it today. Good job. If you serve, when you volunteer, you're not just serving because we should serve and help other people. You are feeding the Spirit. When you show up at your Verve group, Verve group sign-ups start today. You should totally get in a Verve group because when you go to Verve group, you are feeding the Spirit. What you're doing is instead of trying, you're relying. I'm living a Spirit-powered, not a self-empowered life. With religion, I try. With Christianity, I rely. I rely on God. So finally, last, let's talk about the outcome. Okay, the outcome of all this. The outcome of religion is frustration. You know this, right? I feel all this pressure to behave, to change. I fear when I don't because what if God is watching? What if he knows what I'm doing? What if you find out what I'm doing? And any change that I do experience is temporary because my heart didn't change. I end up back where I was before, and it's so frustrating. I get frustrated because I'm not living the life that I want to live, and the reason is because I am focused on me. I am not focused on God in me. And it's because I am not feeding the Spirit. What I'm doing is I'm trying. I'm not relying. And if I'm not feeding the Spirit, my sinful nature will always win. Always. Paul writes more about this in the next verses of Galatians. He writes, "When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you once again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God." And so he's saying, listen, if you're trying, not relying, that's the kind of stuff that will surface in your life. You might not want to live that kind of life, but you will live that kind of life. And so you'll be frustrated. And the reason is because you're trying, you're not relying. And trying never works. You'll be frustrated. You'll be exhausted because you're trying to be good. That is not the life Jesus came to bring you. Like, hear this. If you are frustrated and you feel exhausted, that is a very sure sign that you are not approaching this right. Listen to what Jesus said. Here's his invitation to us in Matthew 11. He says, "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." The outcome of religion is frustration, and if you're feeling frustrated, that is not the life that Jesus came to give you. The outcome of Christianity is transformation. I experience real change because it happens from the inside out. I recognize what Jesus did for me. I have this grace explosion in my heart. God pours his love into me. My heart is changed. I start feeding the Spirit. I start relying on the Spirit, and that leads to real change in behavior. True, lasting transformation happens. In Galatians, Paul talks about this as, he calls it the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Just like apple trees produce, do you know why apple trees produce apple trees? Do you know why? Because they're apple trees. That's why, right? And so someone who has the Holy Spirit inside of them and is relying on the Holy Spirit produces spiritual fruit. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When we hear words like that, if you think, when you hear like patience, kindness, goodness, joy, if your thought is, I've got to work on that. Whew, I got a ways to go with that. I got to work on that. No. Okay, that's not Christianity. If you're trying to do this in your own power without the power of the Holy Spirit, you're just going to get frustrated. You don't work on it. That's religion. Okay, listen, trees don't work to produce fruit, do they? Right? Like you have never been driving down a road in, I don't know, Georgia, and there's peach trees, and you see them out there trying so hard to produce peaches, right? You have never seen a tree like, I know what this looks like. I know it's bad. I'm cool with it if you're cool with it. Are we all cool with it? Right? Apple trees don't go, trying to produce. No, they just do, right? Because it's a peach tree. It produces peaches. An apple tree produces apples. And listen, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is inside of you, and the Holy Spirit grows this fruit in us. And it happens as we just rely on the Spirit, we feed the Spirit, real lasting transformation happens. There's another verse that Paul, in a different letter he wrote, Paul talks about something similar. It's something interesting I want to point out to you. Ephesians 5:18, he writes, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. So again, what are you filling yourself with? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. What's interesting, though, is the verb tense. If you've been coming here long enough, you may know that my mother was an English teacher. I get a little geeky sometimes with some English stuff. So that word filled, be filled with the Holy Spirit, the verb tense is present, passive, imperative form. Some of you are like, it's been years since I've been in English class. Well, I don't even know. So present tense, filled, means it's ongoing. It's not a one-time thing. It's saying we need to keep every day being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a daily thing. So every day, I have to make sure I'm connecting with God, I'm feeding the Spirit, and I'll be filled with the Spirit. Passive tense means this is not something that you work to obtain. This is not something you do. This is something that's done to you. It's something that God does to you. And imperative tense means not optional. This is an absolute must. Okay, you can't, be filled with the Spirit, you know, feed the Spirit, connect with God every day. I might try that. No, this is a must. This is like at the core of what it means to live a Christian life. If we want to be free, if we want to live the life that God has for us, if we want to live the life that we want for us, we need the Holy Spirit, and we need to rely on the Holy Spirit every single day. We need God in our lives. We need God in us, working through us. And the way that happens is by you choosing to surrender your life to God. You turn your life to God. And then we saw earlier, you get baptized. Remember that promise that God makes. Acts 2:38, 39 says, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you surrender your life to Him and you get baptized. You could do that today. Like you could do that, all of that, in the next 20 minutes. So I'm going to pray and just pray this prayer of surrendering, saying yes to God, and you could make that prayer your own. And then we're doing baptisms in like 15 minutes back in the Holy of Holies by the dumpster. And we have some people who are like, they made that decision a week or two ago, and they're ready. You might be like, I didn't come ready, but maybe you're ready. You might not have the right clothes with you, but maybe you're like, I don't want to wait. It's a cool thing in the Bible. There are literally thousands of examples of people getting baptized, and all those thousands of people, every single one of them, except for one person, that guy Paul who wrote this letter, gets baptized on the first day they hear about Jesus. They woke up that morning. If you said, who's Jesus? I have no idea. They hear about Jesus. I'm putting my faith in Him, and get baptized same day. And you can make that decision if you're ready to do that. There's no pressure here. But if you're ready, you could say, I'm saying yes, and in 15 minutes I'll be back there, and I'll go home wet. It's pretty hot. You'll drive fast. You'll be all right. So let's say yes to God, and if you're ready. If you've never said yes to God and you say yes today, I'm going to be back at the Velcro Bar. Go up to me and say, I said yes, and we can talk about, are you ready to get baptized? You want to do that? And we'll tell you how. And if you have said yes in your past, let's say yes again, and let's ask God to fill us with His Holy Spirit again. Okay? Let's pray. God, it really is just mind-boggling, crazy. I have spent my life in ways I know, ways I don't know, rebelling against You, sinning against You, telling You I don't want You. And Your response was to love me so much. You sent Jesus to die for me so that You could make me Your own, so that we could have a relationship, so that You could forgive my sins, set me free, bring me someday to an eternity in perfect heaven with You. God, I say yes to that. I surrender my life to You, God. I put my faith in Jesus as the only one who can forgive my sins. God, I accept Him as the Savior of my life. And God, I put my trust in Him as the leader of my life. He is the one who I want to lead me through the rest of my life. I make Him my boss, the Lord of my life. God, I say yes. God, if there are people in here who are saying yes right now, maybe have never done that before or have done it before but have never been baptized, God, maybe today's the day. In the Bible, everyone who ever said yes, today was the day. And so maybe today's the day. God, for the rest of us, for those who have said yes, who've been baptized, God, we say yes again. We ask You to fill us with Your Holy Spirit again, and help us to remember that we need to connect with You. We need to rely on, feed the Spirit within us every single day. That's how we live the life that You have for us. What an awesome opportunity that is. Help us to live it, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.